The first Sunday after Christmas. First lesson is taken from Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Then Moses said to the people, "After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons.'" This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from Colossians chapter 3. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke chapter 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ this morning. Well, here we are. We're on the other side of Christmas. We just celebrated the wonderful coming of Jesus into the world, where people could now see and touch and talk to God. Something that was very limited prior to Jesus' birth. Oh, God talked to humans, yes, but he did it through objects like the burning bush and the pillar of fire and the wind and so forth. And he sent messengers, he sent angels, he sent prophets, he spoke to people through dreams, yes, but it wasn't the same. And you certainly couldn't see him directly or touch him, because if you did, you'd surely die. But when Jesus was born, all of that changed. This time, he himself came down to live among us and be one of us and to look like us. He was born and he grew just like people did in the first century. And so, his parents would go through the same traditions and the same legal requirements of any firstborn sons in the first century to make sure that he had all the rights and privileges of the Jewish firstborn males. 8 days after his birth, his parents had him circumcised, you know, because he was a Jew. It was then that he was named Jesus, just like the angel had instructed them. Now, this set him apart, like the other Jews, from the rest of society, because they had been chosen by God to be his special people. Then later, he was to come to the temple to be consecrated, to fulfill what God had instructed the Israelites through Moses, as we heard in our first lesson today from Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." And Mary also had to undergo a rite of purification. Because under Jewish law, after childbirth, Jewish women were unclean because of the blood and all that stuff. And so, 40 days after childbirth, Mary had to go and be cleansed in the purification ritual so that she can go into the temple again and worship God. And so, in our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 2, Mary with Jesus and Joseph went into the temple for these important rites. Well, let's take a look at what happened that day in the temple. Now, I'm sure Mary and Joseph had been in the temple and had seen these rituals and these rites performed before. You know, for other mothers, for other firstborn sons, maybe even more than once. And they probably knew what to expect. But I think they were beginning to see that with Jesus, they should expect the unexpected. Because in the temple that day, there were two people. Two people that would significantly affect them, and that they would be significantly affected by Jesus. The first was Simeon, an old man who was promised by God that he would not die until he had seen the long-predicted Messiah. This was because Simeon was righteous and devout, a devout believer in God, and a devout believer in God's promises. It's interesting that Simeon was given the privilege of being absolutely sure when the Messiah had come, and the privilege of actually seeing him in the flesh. That was a great honor. Well, the Holy Spirit told Simeon, "Today's the day." And so Simeon went into the courts, temple courts, just as Mary and Joseph were coming in with Jesus. Now, I don't know for sure But, you know, it seems to me that there would be a lot of activity in the temple courts. There would be a lot of people coming and going, praying, worshiping, so forth. And there may have been even more than one baby in the temple court that day. So for Simeon to have picked Mary and Joseph out of all of that showed that he was, in fact, tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Because Simeon went right over to Mary and Joseph. He took Jesus in his arms from Mary and held him. Now, can you see that happening today? You know, can you see in a public arena like that, an old man walking over to a young mother that he didn't know and taking the baby from her arms and holding the baby? I mean, there would be shouting. There would be scuffling. There would probably be the police being called. But none of that happened. None of that happened according to our text. They let him take Jesus so that he could bless Jesus. And what a blessing it was. As a matter of fact, those of you who are lifelong Lutherans will recognize these words. This is called Simeon's Song. And it's usually said in more liturgical references, more liturgical services, right after communion. We don't use it here, but many Lutheran churches, and I'm sure some other denominational churches, use Simeon's Song as the dismissal for communion. In Latin, it's called the Nunc Dimittis, which means, now you dismiss. But Simeon blessed Jesus with this song. And he pointed out that Jesus is the salvation prepared in the sight of all nations. And also notice what Simeon called Jesus. Okay? He said he's a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now that was a remarkable statement by a Jew, a devout Jew at that time. Because you see, the Jews thought that the Messiah would come just for them, because they were God's chosen people. For Simeon to have included the Gentiles in his blessing, people that at the time were thought to be heathens, well, that was a remarkable statement. And it must have come from a revelation by God to Simeon. The people listening to him that day were either surprised or more likely shocked that Simeon had said what he said. And then Simeon gave Mary some good news and some bad news. Jesus would have a profound effect on many in Israel, causing the rising and the falling of many, and revealing the thoughts of many hearts. But as for Mary, Mary's soul would be wounded because of her son Jesus. Well, Mary and Joseph, you can imagine, were probably just, you know, with their mouth open, watching. It says they marveled at what Simon was saying. But even before they can react, another person came over to them. Her name was Anna. And she was an elderly widow who was constantly in the temple. She was praying and worshiping and fasting. And she, too, was a devout believer in God and his promises. Like Simeon, Anna was tuned in to the Holy Spirit, because as a prophetess, she knew who that baby was. Now, I want you to notice what she said and what she did in our text today. Our text says, coming to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She gave thanks to God, and then she began witnessing about the Christ child. Why, she was probably one of the first, if not the first, Christian evangelist for Jesus. Even before he was 2 months old. I'm sure that all of the people that were in the temple that day remember that day, the day that baby came and was consecrated to God. Now, if we study Holy Scripture, we can see that down through history, the history of mankind, the history of the Israelites, God has consecrated people whom he deemed to be special. People that he decided would be his people. People as consecrated people, they were set apart to be holy. They were set apart for his intended purposes. They were to be an example, and they are to be an example for the rest of the world, for the so-called heathens, the Gentiles. They would live differently. They would worship differently. They would have the values that are close to the God's values. Obviously, Jesus was consecrated, was set apart, because he was God in the flesh. He was to be the sacrificial lamb for all mankind. Mary and Joseph were consecrated, set apart, because they were chosen to protect, to care for, to raise Jesus until his mission and his ministry started. Simeon and Anna were set apart for God's purposes, to bless Jesus, to foretell his calling, what his calling would be, and to start the public discussion about Jesus and his mission. The Holy Spirit wanted all of them in the temple court that day. Well, that's a nice image to recount about Jesus' life, right? But what does that really have to do with us today? If you really think about this encounter, you can see that both Simeon and Anna could see the end of the story from the beginning, because they were at the beginning. I mean, Jesus wasn't even 2 months born, 2 months old yet. He couldn't speak, right? He was not grown up. He hadn't begun to teach. He hadn't confronted the Jewish authorities and had been arrested and killed, and he hadn't risen from the dead yet. And yet Simeon called him God's salvation. The Word, the promise of God, had become flesh as living proof of that promise. Simeon could see the ending from the beginning. And so could Anna. She pointed out that this child was the redemption of Jerusalem. She recognized the end at the beginning. Neither would see Jesus complete his mission in this world, at least from their earthly perspective. But they had been consecrated for God's purposes for that time. And you know what? So are we. And we have the advantage of seeing Jesus' life unfold in Holy Scripture. We have the advantage of seeing his ministry and his teaching, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back into heaven. Simeon and Anna were on the other side of Christmas. They saw the baby that day as the infant, the holy infant in the temple. But we see him in his church, in his body and blood here in our church today, because we are on the other side of Easter. We have been given faith to believe in the promises of God's salvation and his redemption, just like Simeon and Anna had. We received that faith when we were baptized. In those baptismal waters, the Holy Spirit sealed us in our salvation, and we were consecrated or set apart for God's purposes too. You know, before he died, Jesus prayed for his disciples, including us. as recorded in John 17. He said, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." And we know, don't we, that we will rise again one day, in that last day, when Jesus comes to have us go and live with Him forever. But until that day, we have God's purposes to fulfill, because we are sanctified by God for His purposes. We too are to herald the coming of Jesus, both the first time as a baby and the second time in His second coming, because that's what we're set apart to do. We all can do something to speak about Jesus, to let others know that they too are sanctified, that they are consecrated, dedicated, whatever you want to call it, for Him. I mean, look at Simeon and Anna. They were very old. They were in their 80s. Some say they were even in their 90s. Using them as an example, even in old age, God can use us to witness about Jesus. As Paul said in our second lesson today, from his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, he said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You see, we're all chosen. We're all consecrated. We're all set apart. We are to be different than the rest of the world out there. And just as Jesus' life unfolded after the temple that day where He was consecrated, our lives too unfold for us. Just as Jesus would have had times of happiness and sadness, we too have times of happiness and sadness in our life. Just as Jesus had to physically die, we too will die one day, unless Jesus comes and takes us before then. And just like Jesus rose from the grave on that Easter morning, we too will rise from the grave one day. You see, our life is hidden in Christ. Our redemption, our life in Christ is complete. It's just a matter of unfolding. Like Simeon and Anna, we joyously receive Him as our Redeemer. And just like Simeon and Anna, we will behold Him when He comes again the second time at His second coming. What a wonderful future to consider. Amen? Amen. Amen.